Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our consideration today is recorded in John's Gospel, selected verses from chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our gracious Advent King, dear fellow redeemed, today is Advent Sunday number 3, so we're drawing ever nearer to the happy anniversary of Jesus' birth at Christmas time. In a recent sermon, we were reminded of the purpose of the Advent season, namely, to ready our hearts for a blessed observance of Christmas by godly repentance of our sins and trust in the coming Savior from sin, so that we might receive with hearts of joy the gifts that he's coming to bestow. In a world where the lion's share of the population, the rank and file, are not in a position to benefit spiritually from Jesus coming at Christmas because they do not know him, they do not trust in him, they don't even want the gifts he descended from heaven to bestow, we are able to benefit from them as Christians, and how we look forward to receiving these gifts from the Savior's all-loving hands. Today's texts will serve a purpose, a very good purpose, of instructing us in the calling that God has given to us of bearing witness to this Savior whom we know and love. The evangelist John, who penned the words of our text, provides some very good instruction in this by leading us to recognize that it is indeed a calling that God has given to us to be witnesses for Christ, and by encouraging us to carry on this witnessing with humility and clarity. So our text opens with those words, "There was a man sent by God, sent from God, whose name was John." So John the evangelist informs us that John the Baptist, when he began his ministry out there in the Jordan River Valley, was not a job that he chose to do. God hired him, so to speak. God chose him. God called John the Baptist for this very glorious work as Jesus' forerunner. Now, the word in the original Greek text, if I may share with you a Greek lesson today, for send is apostello. It's a very beautiful word, rich in meaning. Apostello. Its basic meaning is to send someone out on a mission to share a message with others. And it's interesting to note how that word apostello is used in the New Testament, and its noun form apostolos, or apostolos, from which we get the English word apostle. As it's used in the New Testament, it refers to a person whom God has commissioned to share his life-giving gospel word with others. Examples in the New Testament, we read in Hebrews 3, verses 1 and 2, Jesus is called the apostle. The apostolos and the high priest of our confession, who was faithful to his Father who appointed him. Father commissioned Jesus to come here on a mission to our world, which, as we read in our Old Testament lesson, was to preach the good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You also know how Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, sent out 12 men to be apostolos, to be apostles, whom he commissioned to serve in a very special way as those who are going to take the message of the gospel after Jesus ascended into heaven and broadcast it in the world and plant the church. And now in our text, as I mentioned above, we read that God sent, it's the verb apostello, John the Baptist, to serve the Lord in a very special way, to share the message that God's Son had appeared on earth and the importance of the people readying their hearts to receive him through repentance and faith. The thought that we're coming to here is that the scripture also teaches that God has called all Christians to be apostles in a broad or a general sense. He sent us out with a message to share with other people, the good news of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Remember how Jesus, the first words out of his mouth on Easter evening when he came to his disciples barricaded for fear in the upper room on Easter night, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent, apostello, me, even so I am sending you." And in Paul's letter to the Romans, we read, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then will they call on him of whom they have not believed, or in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? And how are they to preach unless they are," there's apostello again, "sent?" The point of this message, friends, is to encourage us all to be thinking about this and to find great joy in this as we go through our days, our various activities in the vocation God has given us, whatever it may be, office worker, plumber, teacher, computer tech, mechanic, retiree, whatever, that God has called us to share the Christ of Christmas with others for their soul's eternal benefit. Remember who the very first New Testament apostles were? Christmas night, the sheep herders. When they saw the baby Jesus, made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Another way to look at it, this high calling that the Lord has given us, he's called us to be witnesses for him. We're told here that John the Baptist came as a witness to bear witness about the light so that all might believe through him, through the testimony of John. The Bible word for witness is also a very special one. Won't bore you with the Greek on that word. It means simply to pass along to others things that you've seen or what you have heard. So John was a witness for what he had seen and heard about Jesus. He saw the Spirit descending upon him in the form of a dove at his baptism. He heard the voice of the Father declaring, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And he witnessed to Jesus then as the very one whom God sent to be the Lamb of God to take away the world's sin. So the Lord wants us, as we go about our daily walk of life, to keep up before our mind's eye this very special calling he's committed to us to serve as apostles and witnesses to what we've seen with our faith eyes and what we've heard with our faith ears, letting others know as he places opportunities before us that the Jesus whose birth we celebrate at Christmas is the light of the world. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, that is, who trusts in him, will be saved. Also, as we bear witness as the Lord's apostles and witnesses to what we've seen and heard concerning Christ, we are to endeavor to do it with humility and clarity. Notice how God, we read in our text, how he blessed John the Baptist in that way when those sent by the Pharisees came out to the Jordan to interrogate him, said, "Who are you?" John didn't try to put himself forward as a man of importance, but he readily admitted he was nothing compared to the one God had called him to bear witness to. "I'm not even qualified to stoop down and take off his sandals," even though John, in point of time, that is, his birth on earth, came before Jesus. He was born 6 months before Jesus, was Jesus' senior in that respect. He recognized that he was far below the Lord in rank and importance because Jesus, as the great I Am, the world's creator, was in existence long before John ever walked on the earth. And that was John's humble witness. So he could have put himself forward as a somebody. He confessed that he was a nobody. Jesus must increase. I must decrease. Put your trust in him. He's your Lord and Savior, not me. He also gave a clear witness when they asked him. Again, they repeated, "Well, then, who are you? Are you the Christ, Elijah, come from back from the dead, or are you the prophet?" He told them flat out, "No, I am the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah said. Pave a highway into your heart for him." Clarity and humility of John's witness is a meaningful example also for us in our calling as witnesses for him today as we share our faith in the Christ of Bethlehem, of Calvary, of Easter, and the one who will come again as judge of the living and the dead. We should ask the Lord to help us always to do it in a humble and a clear manner, though the temptation is strong to present a message to others that will appeal to the progressive world that judges things differently from how God does. God, who deliberately chose the weak things, chooses the foolish things and the low things to accomplish his mighty things. And though we might be tempted to alter our Christian witness, tone it down to cater to what the general populace would like to hear, not talking about sin and the need for a Savior, so we'll be viewed as important to the world, as well-educated, enlightened, not unsophisticated, not unwoke. We want to continue to share that simple, unremarkable to the world message of Christ Jesus born on earth to redeem us. And yes, that he was born of a virgin. Many churches also have toned down that message, gone down a different road, ignoring what the Bible says about this. goes against the grain of modern religious thought, not teaching that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary because, well, to their minds it seems foolish that that was possible. Born supernaturally without a human father? That virgin birth teaching, you know, that's a myth, they say. No, we want to continue to retain and share that simple message. Jesus was, he could be, and he was born of a virgin with no human father because with God everything is possible. And he had to be conceived that way and born of a virgin so that he would be born sinless and go on to fulfill the work that his father gave him to do of saving us from our sins and delivering us from the hellfire that our iniquities deserved. Beautiful message indeed. And we want to be clear in our witness. You know, there's a lot of lack of clarity in the world about. We've talked about that in sermons recently, how Christmas is misunderstood and who Jesus was, his true identity. Why did God cause the baby, Jesus, to be born? Not as a champion of civil rights, not to be a social justice warrior or to improve the lives of people for a few years on earth. Last week I happened across a radio broadcast in which the announcer demonstrated that he had not been taught very clearly about who Jesus is and what he came from heaven to do. He was lamenting that there's so much unrest and chaos and lack of peace in the world. Christmas is supposed to be a time of peace, he said. He didn't understand what the angels were singing about to the sheep herders that night when they said, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men," that they were rejoicing about what God was going to make happen in hearts of people living on every continent of the planet. And we know that that is definitely true. We see it happening always in mission work that we do and in our own private witnessing efforts. That as Jesus would carry out, Jesus' disciples carry out their calling as apostles, sent out ones, and witnesses for the Lord, the Holy Spirit would use that message of power to impart the peace of sin forgiven and inner joy in the goodwill that God has shown towards the world by providing it with a Savior, a peace that we have no matter what's going on in the world and the turmoil that's happening in our own personal lives. Peace with God, reconciled to Him. The Lord providing us with an almighty, all-loving Savior who has bestowed upon us rest for our souls. That, friends, is the clear message we want to keep sharing as the Lord's witnesses at Christmas time and throughout the year. So the Lord so bless us. May He help us to keep in mind as we go about our daily busy lives the special calling that He has committed to us as His witnesses, and to do so with humility and clarity to the praise of His Savior name. And if somebody should ask you, who is the baby Jesus? Why was He born? Let our answer be, what child is this? Laid to rest on Mary's lap, who's sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Why lies He in such mean estate, where smelly farm animals are feeding? Good Christians fear for sinners hear the silent word. The word made flesh is pleading. Nails and spears shall pierce Him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. And He will on you the gifts bestow, prepared by God for all below, so that in His kingdom bright and fair, you may with us His glory share. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from presence, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit.